Breaking news, the Biden administration taking a series of actions to target what they allege are attempts by Russian-backed actors to manipulate public opinion here in the U.S. ahead of the presidential election, according to two senior U.S. officials. Joining us now is NBC's Ken Delanian. Ken, what more have we learned?
Jose, this is being described by our sources as a whole-of-government action designed to target Russian propaganda and disinformation aimed at interfering in the 2024 election.
Really?
Guess who's back?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's all Russian. Just kill me now. Kill me now. Seriously, dear God, just, you know, come on, lightning strike right now. If I have to go through another election cycle where I have the Democrats going, but more Russians, I'm going to throw all of us off a cliff. I'm going to harness everyone, all of you, no one's safe, and I'm going to drag you all off a cliff with me. That's how it's going to work. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. It's one of them. It's a gloriously gloomy day in Texas, and my mood has matched it. And also, I've never been more excited for an election to be over. In my life, I have never been more excited. I don't think I experienced true hate until this election cycle. And now I really know what hate is. I thought I hated things before. No, I didn't hate things before. I just merely dislike them. Hate is the fiery furnace that is in the pit of my little bitter black heart. And that is what is propelling me forward in this. I'm almost at the point where I don't care. Now we've got, but guys, look, it's the Russians. It's the Russians again. Does anyone honestly believe this? Because I don't. Case in point, remember when, let me go back for a minute. It was October of 2016. And they had the DNC servers that were hacked. And Democrats didn't really care about it. And they said, no, you don't need to do a forensic report. That's okay. Just skip it. You don't need to do a forensic report. Remember that? And then when Trump had said something like, well, you know, it could be these Russians that are looking to do this. That's when Barack Obama excoriated him and said that he needs to just kind of campaign and quit trying to blame things on everyone else. I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers, guys. We remember. We all remember this. So I don't know. I just feel like I don't know. When I hear them talk about this again, I don't really care. I'm not going to lie. I don't really care because I don't believe it. Do you believe it, Kane? Do you believe that there's some big Russian entity out there getting ready to hack all the Democrats? And
hell no. And if I knew Russian, I'd say it in Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, so welcome to the live performance of Daria. It's Dana Lash with you at the top of this first hour. This is just some of the stuff that we've got going on today. And we're going to get into all of the latest. We've got this school that we're watching that's on lockdown in Georgia as well. I'm sure you're going to have the anti-gun ghouls immediately fire up over that. We'll keep an eye on it. And we're also going to get into a number of other things. But this is one of the tops. This is what they really started doing yesterday with all of this, the Russian stuff. And then on top of it, and let me pull up, get my rundown up here. You have the manifesto that was released. It's not really a manifesto. It was the diary of the Nashville killer. There's a great piece that Lorraine has up at Substack that breaks all of this down. Because there was a lot of it. In fact, there were 21 different journals that they had discovered. And this was apparently just one of them. I have no idea why they didn't release it. There was nothing in here that was going to compromise the investigation. Nothing at all whatsoever. And looking at some of this, because it's up at Substack, if you're a subscriber, you get it. There's screenshots of it, and it gets into the amount, the medication that she was on, you know, kind of her mental health history. She tries to use autism as like an excuse for being an evil murderer, which is, you know, unfortunate because that has nothing to do with the other at all whatsoever. She was on a ton of different medications, though, all kinds of anti-anxiety medications. She was on antidepressants. And I think there's a lot of questions as to how that affected, because clearly she was mentally unstable. I mean, she was mentally unstable already. And then add all this to it. Plus, this kind of confirms what we all know. in that she was a mentally ill person who was further radicalized by gender ideology, the push for gender ideology. I mean, this is completely evident. So I have no idea when I was reading over this PDF that was released yesterday, and it was the Tennessee Star, I believe, that got this finally. I have no idea why this wasn't released sooner. There was no reason at all for this not to have been released any sooner or any later than what it was. It just doesn't make sense. And clearly she was radicalized. I mean, she gets into, I'm not going to read all of it, but I mean, there was a motive. The motive is evident. And I think really ultimately that's the only reason why they didn't want to release this, because they did not want to confirm the suspicion that we all had, in that this was her. I mean, we all knew this. This was the, you know, her motivation was she was a radical trans Tifa member. That's exactly what her diaries show. They absolutely show this without any question of a doubt. That's it. That they waited so long to release it is political activism. That they refused to release it, that they refused to show people that, yes, this is another example of radical gender ideology that's, you know, it's been weaponized and now it's cost lives, is that political activism. That's exactly what it is. So this is one of the other things that we're watching that we're going to break down as well today. Also on deck, the Secret Service. This gets crazier and crazier, this story. So apparently, Senator Josh Hawley was saying that the agents that were in Trump's Secret Service detail in Butler, Pennsylvania, were amateur Homeland Security agents who only had 2 hours of training on a webinar. I've seen the memes that say DEI hard. Well, we knew that there were some agents and that were U.S. Marshals, etc. And that there's a lot of questions with this. There's still a lot of questions that we have. Like, this dude was on his phone. There are pictures of this dude on his phone. Was he communicating with somebody? Was he texting with somebody? Do we know? Are we not allowed to ask those questions? Because this is what we live in the stupidest time. We live in the dumbest time, the biggest era of information. You literally had an attempted assassination of a former president live on television. And we do not know hardly anything more than we knew the day of. That is inexcusable. Don't sit here and tell me, you know, try to sell me this pig feces that, oh, well, it's because of the ongoing investigation. There is nothing compromised by this. Nothing. It's being held because it's all politicized. Everything is super politicized. Super politicized. Like, for instance, I'm sure you guys see, I'm not going to play the video because I can't stand orange people in spaghetti tank tops with vocal fry sitting here doing stuff for clicks. But I do believe that the whole Alexa and what's the other thing? You have Alexa. What are all of them? Siri.
Yeah, there's Siri, Alexa. What's the Google one?
I don't know.
Hey,
they all should
just
die.
Hey Google, right? Isn't it?
Hey B. Yo, B, that one? I don't know. Anyway, there's these videos going around, people asking their voice-enabled assistant, like, what, you know, about political questions. And, I mean, clearly there's an obvious bias there. So Amazon told Variety that their Alexa voice-enabled assistant doesn't have any political opinions. They're saying that, no, it's just, it was a mistake when they were saying that you should vote for Kamala Harris in the video instead of Donald Trump. It was a mistake. No one believes this. I actually don't care what AI wants to vote for. I don't care about AI. I don't care. I don't care about any of it. I just want to be able to find things when I use a stupid search engine. The algorithms are so stupid. I want to be able to simply find things when I use a search engine. I don't want the algorithm's preferred results. It's all hyper stupid, tribal, partisan BS. That's all it is. All I want is to be able to find stuff, right? I feel like Linus's sister, Sally, in the Peanuts. All I want is to be able to find stuff on my search results. All I want is to be able to get what I deserve when I'm looking on Google. All I want. That's all I want, to be able to find my search. That's all I want, right? It's all anybody wants. I shouldn't have to add Reddit to it just to like find something to get around algorithms. It's insane. But it's all, it's this is the nightmare of it. Everybody is so, all of this began because some progressive moron got their feelings hurt. They got all butt hurt because someone didn't share their opinions, and it all snowballed from there. And now we live in this dystopian hellscape where you can't even find like a recipe online without getting punched in the throat with someone's stupid, uneducated political opinions. I think Kamala Harris is good for the economy. No one believes this. What does this have to do? I'm looking literally for a cake recipe. What does this have to do with us? Stop it. Tired of it. Everything is politicized. Everything. You know the Peloton thing? Oh my gosh, I hate Peloton. I was talking to a friend and she asked me, she's like, can I buy your Peloton from you? I don't use it. Over lockdown, they started getting super politicized. And if I could lift it, it weighs like, I don't know if you know this, it weighs 11 trillion pounds. It's an actual measurement. I wanted to take it and throw it through my window. If I could have, I would have. I wanted to shoot the monitor. I was just done with it. Everything was like, now we're going to take a knee for, shut up. Just, you're on a bicycle. This is what I get for buying a stationary bicycle, which is about the stupidest thing I can imagine. Just get on an actual bike. Go sightsee, you know? I don't know. But everything, even that is politicized. Everything is politicized nowadays. Brands have to send out statements. Everything. Super hyper tribal. News, medicine, law. You know, the upside to AI is that if you actually get decent people programming it, then you can get around some of these dumb opinions, but you're not going to have decent people programming it. That's the problem. That's the catch 22. Some of the things we've got coming up for you. Further with this Russian stuff, we're also watching this school, the EV mandate. The Harris campaign still falling all over themselves. I got polling for you, some new polling. I'm not super excited about any of it. It's all at some point still a prediction, but I do want to caution you that it wasn't all that different. They weren't really off, and they definitely weren't off in 2022. They weren't really off in 2020. They weren't really off in 2018 either. I'm just tired of trying to convince people to, you know, maybe you got to do half and half, like give some stock to the surveys and then also give some stock to common sense. We're going to talk about that as well going into it. I've got some culture. Wait until you see. You remember the photos where the commander of the USS John S. McCain was relieved and replaced by a guy because he posted a photo of himself firing a rifle with the scope mounted totally backwards. Wait until you hear who they replaced him with. Hands to sky. I'm not making this up. You're going to think I am. I promise you I'm not. So just stick around. I will get into all of that. Our partners that help bring you free radio, new partners to the show, Burn a Gun. It's a non-firearm firearm. I'm always going to tell you to carry. I am never going to tell you not to carry. And I'm never, ever going to tell you to be irresponsible about your self-defense. That said, I think you should have some diverse options at the ready because, you know, you're not able to carry your firearm everywhere that you need to go. And I would love to have the luxury of being able to not go into gun-free zones. But by the nature of what I do to feed my family and to go out and help, you know, get people registered to vote and to do the work of people who want to complain about it, I have to go into gun-free zones sometimes. I don't like being left defenseless, particularly with the crime rate. So this is where Burn a Gun comes in. I have a lot of friends who work in D.C., Chicago, New York, and they've gone out and gotten their most popular model, the Burn SD. It shoots out chemical irritant projectiles, 5-round capacity compared to stun guns that are restricted to just 1 or 2 shots as well. And the Burn SD, it's their best-selling defense option. And it's a non-firearm firearm. It doesn't care about gun-free zones. Legal in all 50 states. Requires no background checks or permits. And it can be shipped right to your door. So it's super accessible. Learn more about it. BYRNA. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. BYRNA. Byrna Gun. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
So we're following the story of this Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia, which is on lockdown after reports of gunfire. We're going to follow up with that. It's on lockdown. They said at least one person was reportedly taken into custody. Someone else was loaded on a medic helicopter. But we'll have any updates on that for you as we get them. Also, this Houthi terrorist, you know, the Iranian-backed Houthis, hit 2 oil tankers with missiles this ongoing in the Red Sea as they are disrupting shipping routes over Israel's war defending itself against Hamas. The Houthis attacked the Panama-flagged and owned Greek-operated MV Blue Lagoon 1 and the Saudi-flagged owned and operated MV Amjad with two ballistic missiles and a one-way attack uncrewed aerial system. It hit both vessels, according to CENTCOM, in a statement. They were laden with crude oil. Also, they said Burning Man attendees, according to Yahoo, were blasted by a giant dust storm during the desert exodus. They do make it sound quite biblical, do they not? Tens of thousands of Burning Man participants faced delays up to 10 hours getting off site after a vicious dust storm reduced visibility to barely 5 feet on the last day of the desert festival. According to San Francisco, the SF Gate, they said that billowing plumes of grit and sand kept drivers from inching along at a more than glacial pace on Monday. It's pretty crazy. Also, a study reveals what drives people to procrastinate. Why do you need a study for this? This is stupid. It's laziness and discipline. Lack of discipline, rather. Come on. Cable TV's collapse deepens. It's becoming increasingly clear, say reports, that there's no floor. Of course, there isn't. I mean, it's everything's moving. Although I will say, I hate that I pay for an Amazon service to stream things and then I still get ads. It makes me, when I see someone, do you have a visceral reaction like I do? When I see you interrupt my paid service with your ad, I hate your product.
They did that in the 80s with us with cable, remember? Get cable in your home, no more ads. And then boom, within months.
Get satellite ads in your home, no more ads. Boom, ads. They always lie about the ads. Southern California heat wave, the temperature is up to 119 degrees. I mean, it is Southern California. It is a desert, and it is still technically summer. Stick with us. We've got a lot more in store. We've got some polling coming up for you, some culture, and we're watching this latest story coming out of Georgia. Imagine if you had a GPS for your body's engine in your hands. That's exactly what you get with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. Lumen is a breath-based metabolism tracker. It's a little tiny, see? You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day and you get a metabolism snapshot and personalized nutrition plan. Then the app tells you if you're burning fat or if you're burning carbs. And when your metabolism is firing on all cylinders, you get a whole bunch of other benefits. I mean, you get smoother weight management, a boost in energy, enhanced fitness results, and even better sleep. But it doesn't stop there. This very nifty little device also adjusts its advice to keep your metabolism in check through hormonal shifts. So taking all factors into account, it's all based on real-time data and proven science. With Lumen, you're always in the driver's seat. So take the guesswork out and know with real data what your body needs. Take the next step in improving your health and visit lumen.me/Dana Show to get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show for 15% off of your purchase.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Government, your office has made clear she'd been fired in March of 2023 for misconduct and you are cooperating with law enforcement. But is there anything else you can tell us about that case?
Absolutely shocking. And she has been in government for many, many years, even prior to the time I became governor, where she was involved in making a lot of decisions related to the relationship between the administration at the time and the Chinese government, promoting Chinese, viewpoints and giving them proclamations and visas, and actually at the same time really diminishing any involvement with the country of Taiwan. It is shocking in its scale.
So this is some of the developments that came out of that story yesterday. The Chinese spy that was working with Kathy Hochul's in her administration was her deputy communications, number two in charge. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you here at the bottom of this first hour. We're also watching this story that's coming out of Georgia. This story about this, and I'm pulling up again breaking news. So the first doesn't have a breaking news crew. So we're watching this as this unfolds. And this story, this Georgia school, apparently there are some casualties, although we don't know how many at this point. It's Appalachian School in Winder Georgia. It's on lockdown after there were reports of gunshots. One person at least was loaded into a medic helicopter on a stretcher. They have dozens of ambulances and obviously vehicles, etc., outside of the school. And apparently the suspect is in custody, and local hospitals have received multiple patients following this shooting at this Appalachian high school. It's in Barrow County, Georgia. And like I said, we're still getting some of the latest information from this. They said apparently 9 injured. One of the town hall says that there were 4 fatalities, although I'm waiting for law enforcement to confirm that first. But they said that there are apparently 9 injured. The initial report is 4 fatalities. And apparently the individual who was taken into custody is evidently a student. And that's all we know right now in Winter, Georgia, Barrow County there at Appalachian High School, where everybody's on lockdown. So there's still, again, as the information comes in, you know, you like to wait for information to come in before you start, dissecting the story further. But I really don't think that there's going to be a heck of a lot of time before, because it's usually seems that before information comes in, things get hyper political, hyper quickly. But as we get confirmed information in, we'll bring that to you. So far as it is, the Associated Press is the only one that's saying that there's injuries right now. They haven't reported on any fatalities just yet. But we'll bring you all of that as we get it, as we get that information. But, you know, tragic. I mean, it's, you know, probably for a lot of these schools, like the first or second week back, but they are still on lockdown. And they said that the local hospital there is receiving some of the patients. And we don't know if they're students or if they're also staff members or if they are, we don't know how many are minors or adults or anything of that nature. But apparently one suspect is in custody. So that is the latest coming out of Appalachian High School in Winter, Georgia, following the reports of this lockdown. And that was I don't know how soon after school started that it began. I'm sure we're going to get a timeline. The sheriff did confirm that one suspect was in custody. So that is the sheriff there in Barrow County, Georgia, that school shooting, who did say that one suspect was in custody at Appalachian High School. So that is confirmed. And we'll bring you, like I said, more information as we get it. I only want to go with confirmed stuff. And we're not going to, as you know, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, we don't play around with speculation. We don't get into any of that. We just want to make sure that we have just the latest information from law enforcement. So we'll bring you anything new from that. But that is in Georgia. Also, one of the other stories that we are watching today, and we've been getting into this with the election and with the campaign accusations about Russian involvement and hacking and all of this, we had this manifesto from the Nashville killer. Now, there's a great piece that's up at the newsletter for the program, chapter and verse, that you can go and read. Lorraine has it up this morning. It's one of the 21 journals from this killer, the Nashville trans killer. And this, some of them date back to 2007. And the one that they did, that they were able to get, was apparently in the killer's car. And it's not so much a manifesto as it, I mean, it's a diary, but, you know, we call it a manifesto. But it does give some serious insight into the killer's mind. And I have no idea why it wasn't released earlier. Releasing it earlier doesn't do anything to compromise any kind of investigation. It doesn't do anything to jeopardize the case. But what it does do is it shows that there clearly was a motive, and it was clearly radical gender ideology, and that this individual was mentally ill and was further radicalized by radical gender ideology. Now, the medications she was on, I mean, she was on antidepressants, anti-anxiety. She was on a handful of medications. And one that she was on, and this is according to the medications that she wrote about, also from Tennessee Star, One of them, lorazepam, it's apparently, Lorraine has a write-up on it saying that it's a benzo that can be habit-forming and cause suicidal ideation, among other things. It feels like maybe if you're dealing with suicidal depression and you have a very long documented history of depression, that maybe perhaps that's a medication you should not be on. Now, there was no indication as to how long she was on any of these, only that these were the ones that she had, you know, at the time she was killed. So maybe it was new, you know, not quite sure, but very, very troubled individual. That it was kept out, that this was kept from the public, I think just further showcases the politicized nature of everything. I mean, everything is so unbelievably politicized in this country, including this. And I don't know why the left couldn't admit that this was this killer's motivation. The radical gender ideology and a hatred and anger towards people of faith, clearly, as it, and apparently, you know, parental problems, daddy issues, as she had written in her diary as well. She had fought with her mom, all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is somebody who was clearly in trouble. This was someone who documented, it's weird too, the way she documented it. It's almost like a burn book. And I don't say that as a way to diminish the severity of it. I just literally have no other way to describe it. You know, the burn book from Mean Girls, it's like that. It's not like this, you know, written, you know, treatise. It is like the burn book from Mean Girls. It is very, very odd. And one of the things noted in this is that she seems to be arrested in childhood. Like she's obsessed with being a kid. She is obsessed with staying childlike, like a Peter Pan kind of syndrome. It's very odd. There's a lot of stuff here. And it's a mental illness. And the radicalized gender ideology, honestly, I think it preys on people I think the people who promote this, they prey on people with mental illness and they further radicalize them and do so much damage. It seems like it's compounded, that it targets people with this ideology, and the people who promote it, it's the people who have mental illness are very susceptible. And then that's further compounded by all of this highly politicized, radicalized theory. It's incredibly unfortunate. But Now we know. I mean, this is what we all assumed in the first place. We all assumed this in the first place. Now, case in point, I wanted to move to this too. I'm going down here to what I tweeted the other day. This was yesterday. So apparently the new commander, the previous commander of the USS John S. McCain. Do you guys remember the story of how the Navy had dismissed this warship commander over this scope that was on backwards? It was so bad. The guy's name, Commander Cameron Yace of the USS John S. McCain, he had a photo of himself firing a rifle with a backward mounted scope. It went viral because they used it in promotional materials. Remember that whole thing? It was really bad. So they have a substitute. They have someone temporarily taking over command. And the individual is Captain Christie. Now, I got some questions about this because the Captain Christie individual, apparently they were a featured speaker at the LGBT experiences in the Navy back in 2021. And the photo is a little odd. I mean, it's a little, I don't know. I don't know what this is. What is this? What is this, Kane?
I have no idea.
That's supposed to be the captain.
I guess as kids, we used to play pretend. Like, hey, I'm captain of this ship. Hey, I'm, you know, firefighter. Hey, I'm cop. And this looks pretend to me.
So I was looking because this, I'm looking at this hill right up. So the Yace, I mean, his removal, I mean, the rifle photo where he had the scope backwards was so bad. And that was part of their promotional materials. And it was just, it got a lot of, people made fun of it, understandably so. And he was removed due to loss of confidence in his ability to command a guided missile destroyer. That's a seriously heavy. And he was relieved by Rear Admiral Christopher Alexander, commander of the Theodore Roosevelt Carrier Strike Group. So now we have this new individual, Captain Allison Christie, Deputy Commodore of the Destroyer Squadron 21. And I don't know that we know a lot about this Captain Allison Christie. Do we know a lot about? I don't know. I mean, apparently Christie took part in like the a lot of the alphabet stuff. And a lot of the lefty websites are saying that people are upset because bigots are raging because an alphabet woman has replaced a fired U.S. Navy warship commander or something like that. Is Allison Christie a gay woman? Or I'm just curious. Kane.
I think you're trying to make sense of mentally ill things. And it just never really works out.
Or great. I mean, I don't know anything about this person. Is it a dude who's... I'm just asking.
Look, is it a dude? You're in charge of other lives and you're confused about your own. I don't want you in a position in charge of other
lives.
Well,
apparently, I think that Captain Christie is just a lesbian, which here's the thing. I don't care what you're doing. If you can go out and kick ass, can you kick ass? That's it. But when you start to make all of these other things, you start to prioritize them and you start to use it as activists within the military, that undermines military unity and readiness. You're supposed to discard those singularities, those individualistic traits to be part of the whole. That is the entire point of joining a fighting force. And when you refuse to do that and you start promoting these very individual, characteristics and start using that as like, you know, promoting that singularly as an activist within the military, you're refusing to just be cohesive at that point. It's a distraction. Nobody cares, but people, these activists are hell-bent on making it a point. And when they do that, it is a distraction. And then you wonder why we're having such problems with military readiness right now. That's a huge issue.
And of all the entities that need to be merit-based, it's the military.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the military is discriminatory against people who aren't able to do the job.
Yes,
and exactly. And it should be physically or mentally. That's completely acceptable. That is completely acceptable because then you're going to get yourself killed and you're going to get other people killed. I mean, it just there's no point to it. It serves up a distraction and it undermines the cohesiveness of the military unit. So I don't know. I mean, the fact that Captain Christie did a lot of this activist alphabet stuff within the military, I have a major problem. If it was just, oh, here's Captain Christie taking over, doing this job, and I don't know anything about her because I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if she hates people and she thinks she's an alien. I don't care. Can she kick ass and can she just focus on doing her job? But the fact that there's all this other stuff that she has brought front and center and has promoted as an activist, that gives me a real pause. Can people just do their damn jobs? Please, if you're swamped, buy back taxes or unfiled returns. Well, the IRS isn't there to help. They have 88,000 new agents. They just want money. And it's not their money. It's just money that they want from you. They're cracking down, sending out millions of these pay up notices. You don't have to face it alone if the IRS is breathing down your neck. Tax Network USA is here to help. You can schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have proven success. They got a track record at Tax Network USA of saving their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They can showcase their expertise, their reliability, and tax relief. They have skilled professionals and expert team that's dedicated to securing the best resolution for your tax issues, making sure that you get the most favorable outcome. Doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. And regardless of whether it's for personal or business taxes, they have the tools and experience to handle any situation. And whether you're able to pay or if you're on a fixed income, Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Don't let the IRS bully you around and control control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network US, Tax Network USA support. Get their support, get their backing, and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana and work with a company I trust. That's TNUSA.com/Dana.
Will anyone reiterate how ridiculously expensive illegal immigration has become? Last year, our government spent $150 billion to take care of our illegal immigration problem. With inflation, that number is much worse. Has that number gone up in 2024?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
May God protect our troops.
I thought it was at the Resolute Desk.
That little thing.
President Biden, do you support free IVF for parents?
Well, he's there, I guess. I don't know what he's doing. Guys, he's presidenting. That's what you're supposed to take away from that. He's presidenting. He's his. What happened to the desk, though?
Shrinkflation.
For real. Like, I wish that there was a way live that Juan could just rewind it while keeping it on the screen. I'm totally all right if you do that. I need to see that little bitty, tiny, bitsy, bitty. Look, okay, pause it right here. What in the world? Is it just a table? I mean, I don't know why I thought that he was. So he's not in, like, the White House or anything like that. It's just kind of weird. That's where they stuck him because he's not really president anymore.
It's a set.
Yeah, they just stuck. Is that in the Delaware basement? Is that where he's at? I'm curious. You know, we got questions. We got a lot still on the way. We've got the latest with this school lockdown and apparently a shooting that took place at the school in Barrow County, Georgia. We'll have some updates on that coming up. Stick with us. That is required to preserve civil and religious liberties. And they have all kinds of free resources available on their website for you to take advantage of, including their Hillsdale College Podcast Network. So over at the Podcast Network, you can really take advantage of the free lectures, the historical deep dives on incredibly important issues, things that are educational and fascinating and are delivered in a very compelling way. They have stuff over there from their Hillsdale president, visiting authors, lecturers, all kinds of stuff. And you can access it only at dana4hillsdale.com. That's F-O-R. And pick your favorite new educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. Choose your favorite one, and it's only through Dana 4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.
What I've heard tonight, Jesse, is that most of the agents who were there at that rally in Butler were not Secret Service agents. They were, in fact, Homeland Security agents. And get this, most of those Homeland Security agents, the only training that they received was an online webinar, a 2-hour online webinar. And I'm told that about half the time, the sound to the webinar didn't even work. So think about this. The president of the United States, former president of the United States, Donald Trump, is sent out on stage. Most of the people there aren't trained. They're not qualified. They only got a webinar training, and even that didn't work. It is absolutely outrageous.
That's like remote learning. That's the time you don't want to have remote learning, is when you're practicing, you know, keeping the president of the United States and or the former president safe. Just the thought. That was Senator Josh Hawley on that new development yesterday. A lot of stuff, a lot of developments, a lot of stuff to look at today. That's still wild to me. There's a lot we don't know yet. A lot we do not know. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this second hour, and we are following the story coming out of Georgia, Appalachian High School, where a shooting took place. This morning, the suspect, according to the sheriff, is in custody, and they're still working to determine the number of injuries. They said which I don't want to go with the number of injuries until we actually have something confirmed with law enforcement, because I have seen them vary wildly between actual news agencies. So we want to, you want to make sure that it's accurate, and you don't want to just rush out and you want to make sure that it's accurate when you go out. So it's a Georgia high school. It's Appalachian High School, Barrow County, Georgia. They said that the suspect is in custody. They're still working to determine the number of injuries, although they do know that local hospitals have accepted, have been taking patients in that have injuries. They said that there are casualties that have been reported. I've only so far have seen the local news say two casualties thus far. The number of injured, that's one of the numbers that's varied. But one suspect, according to the sheriff, is in custody. The Georgia governor, Brian Kemp, said he's directed state resources to respond to the incident at this school in Winder, Georgia. And the it looks like it's more of a more out more near a rural part of Georgia, more towards the center of the state. But still, this four injuries that I've seen anywhere from 4 to 9 to 12. But we're still waiting for a confirmed number of injuries on this. But this took place in Georgia. Police have responded, and we're waiting to get more information from local law enforcement. But I don't know if it was the first day of school there or not. That was also what's been reported. But two fatalities, and apparently the suspect is one local outlet said it was a student. One local outlet said that the suspect that was taken into custody was a student. The whole school was put on lockdown. The high school is about 25 miles west of Athens, Georgia. It's home to about 1,900 students. And it was first reported at 10:23 a.m. That time zone. So that would be Eastern time zone. It would be 9:23, I believe. Maybe perhaps our time, I think. The Barrow County Sheriff's Office they haven't so far yet said whether or not they are when they're going to have a press conference. At this point, they said that other Barrow County schools remain on soft lockdown as a precaution. Apparently, parents have been told that they can start picking up their kids, and they said that don't visit your child's school at this time. They're not releasing students during the soft lockdown. They'll clear it for dismissal soon. But it apparently was a senior at the high school there who said that he had heard the shots. He was in chemistry class, so apparently it was at the high school. But we'll have more information for you as we get it. But we know that hospitals in that area, and again, it's like 25 miles out west of Athens, Georgia. We know that they're accepting some of the injured from this, and we'll have more information. An interesting point to note, and I'm only saying this because I know for, and I'm already seeing it. This is the part that gets incredibly difficult, because whenever you're live on air and you have stories like this that take place, you want to make sure that you're not offering speculation and you're only bringing, you know, the absolute news on this, things that have been confirmed, things that local media have credibly reported, or things that law enforcement have confirmed. But you all also, because of the nature of the story, immediately get highly politicized reactions from lawmakers and other talking heads and other people in media. And it's interesting to point out that of the school systems in Georgia that allow for armed staff, armed teachers, and there's only three of them that do this, this is not one of them. This school district is not one of them. So it is, and you have federal law already that mandates gun-free zones for all schools. That's been federal law for 30 years. So just wanted to point that out as the discussion, as you know, will take that turn, sadly, coming up. But apparently, we are going to have a press conference shortly about this, and we'll bring you all of the latest as we do. Any developments, I'll pop in with those at this time. So far, we don't have an ETA on the press conference, but when we get it, I will let you know. Also on deck, one of the other things that we've been watching today and keeping track of is we got some, there's polling to get into, and we also have some economic news as well. And some of the polling that we're seeing as well, I know 538 had a big piece out this morning where they were saying that Trump was a few points ahead with Kamala Harris. This is going to go back and forth up until election. It's important to note that when these surveys are taken, it's a snapshot in time. And a lot of things can change on this. There are a lot of things that can change. The headlines. You know, you have the October surprises, all of this stuff. It's a snapshot in time that can wildly change week to week. And as a result, I think it's important to be cautious, but also realize that there is some basis and truth in some of these surveys. Back in 2022, we were told that there was going to be a red wave. There was not. In 2020, we were kind of told the same thing, and we didn't see that. We also saw or heard this a lot in 2016. The polling, though, was pretty rough in 2016. I want to stop real quickly. We're going to come back to the polling. I want to take some of this from Judd Smith, who is with the Barrow County Sheriff's Office here in Georgia. Just a real quick update about the school shooting that took place, and I want to hear some of this as it is important to our program. If we can get this. Thank you.
All right, good afternoon. My name is Sheriff Judd Smith. I'm the Sheriff of Barrow County Sheriff's Office. We're standing on the campus of Appalachie High School here at Barrow County Schools. First and foremost, I want to lift up our community. I want to give our sympathies to our community, our school system, our kids, our parents that had to witness this today. Obviously, what you see behind us is an evil thing today. At about 9:30 this morning, we received the first call that there was an active shooter in this on this campus. We're not releasing any information as far as injuries, but we have multiple injuries. This is a very, very fluid investigation. It's very early. And I have asked the assistance of the GBI and the agencies here behind me today, and there are multiple agencies that responded this morning to help us and help the sheriff's office. We do have a suspect in custody, and we are asking for your patience as the media to please let us get the facts that we need to make sure we get this right. Again, I've asked the GBI to help us, the sheriff's office, to help us along with this. I know this is not what you want to hear, but I'm not going to answer questions after this is over with. But I wanted to give you the respect and our community respect to let them know what was going on initially. We're in the process of reunifying our students with their parents. Obviously, that's chaotic, but we want to be respectful of them and their privacy as well. I want to thank the state, the federal agencies, the local agencies that showed up today, as you can see, the multiple EMS and fire from other agencies that responded today. Again, I ask that you lift up Barrow County Schools, lift up Appalachie, lift up our agencies. This is going to take multiple days for us to get answers as to what happened and why this happened. But I wanted to give you a statement. It is our hope, in conjunction with these people behind us, and we can give you another statement around 4 o'clock, because I know you have to go back on the air. That is my hope. But I wanted to be fluid with you all, understanding that it's fluid as well with this investigation. I appreciate you being patient with us. Again, it's very active and is ever developing. Every minute is developing on what we're finding. So we're going to have releases from other schools. Again, we ask that you be patient with us. Please be patient with us. And hopefully I can give you more information, or more better information, as you will, if you will, this afternoon. Thank you all for coming out here. We'll be back shortly, okay?
Sheriff, it's been widely reported that people are dead. Is that true?
I'm not releasing any information. We have multiple injuries.
Can you say if the person in custody is an adult or a son or a juvenile?
I'm not releasing any information. Guys, I'm not going to answer any more questions. It's time, okay? Thank you.
So that's there with Barrow County in Georgia. They're not confirming whether or not, the number of fatalities, if there are fatalities, or whether or not the individual who's taken into custody was a student or an adult. But I imagine all of that's going to come out as the investigation commences. I'm sure they're still working to make sure that that area is secure, and that in addition to that, everybody who's injured is receiving, you know, the care that they need. So we'll bring you updates on that as we get it. But this is, if you're joining us, that has to do with the school shooting that took place this morning in Winder, Georgia. That's in Barrow County, just 25 miles west of Athens. It's about 1,900 students at this high school. And the sheriff's department said that there were injuries, and there have been reports of multiple casualties, but we're still waiting for confirmation from law enforcement on that. Local news has been reporting two fatalities, and I've seen reports of four injured, nine injured, and 12 injured. But as you just heard, the sheriff's department there in Borough County said they're not going to confirm anything. The investigation's ongoing. They just wanted to give kind of the basic lay of the land. Obviously, I would imagine they'll answer more questions later, but they're not going to answer any more right now. So that's the latest coming out of Georgia. And it's important to know, because I already see it happening. I just want to make this point, 2 points really quickly. For the past 30 years, schools have been gun-free zones. That has, again, for the past 30 years, it's been federal law. Number two, of the three school systems that actually allow for armed carry in schools, this school district is not one of them. We'll have more on this as the developments come. We also have some other news to get to today as well. ReadyWise, with ReadyWise, you know where your food's coming from. I like that you know where the chain of command is at all times. So all of this premium survival food is all made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. So that's a number one plus. Number two is that it's made with U.S. ingredients in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant, and it's shipped out from that U.S. plant. So you know where your food's coming from. You're also supporting and maintaining, creating new jobs as well by supporting this business. All the food that they have, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. It's emergency food that is really, really good, premium survival food that's going to be ready for you no matter what may happen. Natural disaster, power outage, unexpected storm, you're prepared, and you have the confidence knowing that you're going to be able to feed your family no matter what happens. So they have their 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one, $100 in value for just $50, two boxes. 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get all your three hot snacks, drinks, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And they also have 20% off when you use promo code DANA20 at checkout. That gets you 20% off any regularly priced item. So head on over to ReadyWise.com. Use promo code DANA20 at checkout. Get that 20% off. Check out that 72-hour food kit. It's buy one, get one right now. That's $100 in value for $50. What are you waiting for? ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently Nicolas Maduro is declaring Christmas in October amid Venezuela's post-election strife. The president has moved holiday celebrations up again to distract from the political crisis. Nothing says tyrant like actually trying to change Christmas so that you can distract from your own scandals. That's insane. So, yeah, that this year's festivities begin in October. Like, he's making everyone celebrate Christmas beginning in October. I mean, I love Jesus, but I don't think he does. I'm just saying. And Oregon law is rolling back drug decriminalization. It's rolling it back. And now it's going to make possession a crime again. The first in the nation experiment with drug decriminalization didn't go so well for Oregon. I know you're very shocked by this. We're all super shocked. None of us said we told you so, or we had no idea this was going to happen, did we, Kane? We didn't know. The Democrat-controlled legislature passed the recriminalization law in March, overhauling a measure approved by 58% of voters in 2020 that made possessing illicit drugs like heroin punishable by a ticket and a maximum $100 fine. So they also want the taxes from it. Let's be real. Like, they're going to get hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue from like cannabis and all this other stuff. And they want, if they can find a way to tax it, they'll make everything legal. But they got to tax it. They got to figure out how to do that. A pickleball program inside of a Connecticut prison is helping incarcerated people find self-worth. This is an actual headline. And I am just going to go out on a limb and say, I don't understand pickleball. You want to hear something shocking about me? You want to hear, like, probably the most shocking thing you're ever going to hear? I've never held a tennis racket.
What?
Never played tennis. I've never even so much as held a racket.
No.
Seriously.
That's a lie.
Not a lie.
Not even a racquetball racket?
I don't even know what that is. Okay, how's it different?
Holy cow.
I've held the ping pong stuff, that little paddle.
Yeah.
Never, legit, have never held a tennis racket in my life. I could be like one of the Williams sisters. You don't even know. And I've never held a tennis racket.
Don't even know.
You don't even know the extent of my abilities or lack thereof. Nobody knows. Anyway, pickleball, isn't that... I don't understand pickleball. Someone said it's like lazy tennis. Didn't Steve say that?
I don't know. Steve's kind of active.
Steve likes pickleball, though. I'm almost terrified to talk about it because I already got one strike against me because I bashed disco, and that he does, and he is a disco fan. We have more on the way, including the train obsession from the left. We also are going to get into Coors. It was always bad beer. We'll talk about that coming up. Kel-Tec, the P15. If you have not gotten the P15, you need to. It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market. And there are two versions of it. You have the polymer version and you have the metal version with the wood panel texture grips. It's super classy. It looks like a James Bond gun. I love both of them. It's a striker fire pistol from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is absolutely ideal for concealed carry. Get a lifetime warranty. This thing is so light. It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm, 1.27 inches wide, 4-inch barrel, tritium and fiber optic front sight. You got fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear and striker fire reliability. It has real smooth trigger pull, and it's just, it's game changing. It is one of my favorites to conceal carry. I love the P15. I both versions love it, and quality made right here in the US of A. It is ideal for whether you're new to compact, whether you're new to compact carry or concealed carry or seasoned pros. It's sleek, lightweight, and powerful. It's the P15 from Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com, and tell them that Dana sent you.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
A different topic. Since when does the vice president have what sounds like a southern accent?
Better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
I mean, this is...
She was talking about unions in Detroit using one tone of voice.
Is this something that
same
you think...
Same line...
Okay, Peter.
That she used the same line in Pittsburgh, and it sounded like she at least had some kind of a southern drawl.
Do you hear the question that you're... I mean, do you think Americans seriously think that this is an important question? They care... Yeah. You know what they care about? They care about the economy. They care about lowering costs.
You don't. Let's
they care
stop
about
pretending
healthcare.
You do.
That's what Americans care about.
So
that's what they want to hear.
This is something.
They care about, your colleague just asked me about democracy. Basically, we talked about, went back and forth about democracy and freedom. That's what they care about.
I agree.
I'm not even going to entertain some question about the press. It's just hearing it sounds so ridiculous.
Well, but hearing it is.
The question, I'm talking about the questions, is just insane.
Is that how she talks in meetings here?
I'm just kidding. Peter, we're moving on. We're still moving on.
Peter Ducey's the real MVP, man. He is, I think, my favorite person to ever ask questions in the press. And you know it, because he doesn't really have a lot of tells, but he'll do this thing where he just gets very pointed. He just, and you know something's, he's winding up with something. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. And it's funny. It's funny because, I mean, it's the whole thing is true. We all heard it. And we all know that that's not how she talks. And we talked about this yesterday, the Southern Baptist preacher speaking technique. Why does she act? I mean, she's pandering. It puts Karine Jean-Pierre in a funny spot. What is she? I will say, what is she going to say to it? I like to watch her squirm anyway, but what is she going to say to it? She can act like it's ridiculous, but it's ridiculous that she did it. That she got up there and like foghorn leghorned her way through some remarks because she wanted to pander to a bunch of people. She's from California. She's like an alien outside of California. It doesn't matter who you are. You're Californian. When you go, it's why we always tell our Californian friends whenever they're in Texas, we're like, welcome to America. Or our New York friends, whenever they visit Texas, welcome to America. It's she just thinks that's the way to talk to people. It's very similar to when Hillary Clinton was like, "I ain't no ways tarred for tired." I don't know. My kids make fun of me though for some of the words I say, but I don't fake it. It's just, I have to fake it to say them correctly. Me saying wash is me faking saying it correctly. And it sounds stupid, by the way. I don't care if there's not an R in there. It gets said with an R in it. It's warsh. I say that six ways a Sunday. Warsh. It's warsh. You've never said that, Kame?
No. Warsh? Mm-hmm. No, when I'm making fun of people that say it that way, I do. I just say wash, just like everybody else.
Wash. That sounds so dumb.
You're like, you get like a duck sound going, wash.
Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a duck said it.
No.
That's a duck word.
It's just wash.
Wash.
No.
I think at this point, it sounds like Juan knows English better than I do. Wash. I just can't. It's weird. It's a weird vowel.
Pillow.
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 That's what he said.
No. You said pillow.
Pillow.
With an E.
It's spelled with an I.
Just how do you say pill? Like you got to take a pill. What?
Pill.
Okay. Now O at the end of that.
Pillow.
No. You lost it.
Is it matter? It only matters when we're talking about the my pillow, and I have to really over enunciate it. I see that's me faking it. Me talking right is faking it. But I can't say wash. That sounds like I'm being pretentious.
Actually, that was pretty good what you did there.
I have to pretend pinky's out. Wash. Oh, there's no H in there, is it?
I don't need a cool whip.
I know I don't need a whip. Just wash. Sounds weird. Sounds like I'm eating my lips. Like it's wash. It's weird. It's a weird word.
It's wash.
You know, sometimes you say a word a whole bunch and it loses all meaning.
How do you say Washington?
Washington.
What?
Yeah.
No, don't say it so fast. Just say Washington.
Washington.
See? That's not. Just stop the Inkton part.
Wash.
I swear.
Whatever. You think old people aren't innocent, so don't make fun of me. So we're not even playing. Anyway, long story short, why does she, you don't need to fake like that. You know, if she really wanted to try to resonate with the voters, she could talk about how she's not going to continue with the economic policies that have bankrupted us all. I don't know. Maybe that might be like a thing to... That might be a thing to say. Her vice president, have you seen this? Or her VP pick? Tim Walz's family? Have you seen this? Tim Walz's family are apparently Republican. Like the Nebraska. So this is Daily Mail. Now, I'm going to read this story. I actually hate when I see this play out in the media. I'm not celebrating this. I didn't like it when the Kennedys did it. And I don't like this either. Tim Walz's family said that they're backing Trump in a bombshell leaked photo. His brother said he's not the type of character you want in the White House.
I agree.
Yes, I agree with you, but you're his brother. You don't trash your family. This is where I get Godfather. You don't go against the family in public. You don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you can vote Trump or Republican and all that six ways to Sunday. That's his family. You can vote for Trump all you want to, but that doesn't mean you got to go bash your blood.
I mean, Mary Trump does it.
So?
To Trump. Oh, okay. So then it's
bad
cool.
Too. It's bad that way too.
Well, I'm just saying that they're not bashing anyone. They're just for something. Like, I think you're confusing the other people being against stuff.
I don't think you should go against family like that in public.
So they can't say they're for Trump because...
They're not just saying they're for Trump. They're seeking the press and they're going, well... We don't make me defend this schmuck. Do not make me defend him. We're, you know what? Worse, pillow. Wait. One more. Milk.
That's cruel and unusual.
Uh-huh. I just think that family should be family first. Okay. I don't like it when it gets political first and then family. Well, I don't like that order.
Yeah, and I know what you like how you handle the Kennedy stuff too, because they were like, oh, family's going to disown him. JFK would be rolling in his grave. And
yes, the Hyannisport hillbillies. Yes, those people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here, I don't see the malice. They just say, hey, you know what? We got the inside story. We just don't think you want him
why
in
do
the
they
White
got
House.
It? Why do they... But that's the thing.
That
what
doesn't
do
say he can't do other things.
Yes, he did. The brother was like, the stories I could tell in one of the posts on Facebook.
But he didn't, did he?
Dude.
He just could have.
Dude. You know what that means.
Stories
that's,
he could have.
That's like chick level manipulation. Like, you know the things I could say. And you know what that means when a woman says something like that. Like, oh, there's a lot there. Hey, That's what he's doing. Now, I probably agree with him politically. I do not want to defend. Oh my gosh, dear heavens, do not make me defend. What is wrong with
today? And I don't know how much, was it really them seeking the press out, or was it them putting that
out? He was posting all over Facebook publicly.
No, of course, he put it on social media.
And you know why he did it? Because everybody knows that that's his brother.
Okay.
He knows that that's going to have a lot more sway and influence than a rando.
Okay. And then the media reached out to him.
And then he was like, yeah, and talked to the media.
Yeah.
He said, he goes, I'm 100% opposed to all of his ideology. And he says he's not the kind of guy that you want in the White House. And he goes, and then he did add, he goes, I've thought long and hard about doing something. You know, I'm torn between that and just keeping my family out of it. The stories I could tell, not the type of character you want making decisions about your future. I totally agree with him. He and his brother apparently haven't spoken in 8 years. Now, I don't know if that's, I'm inclined to think it's on the part of Tim Walz that the reason that their relationship is like that. And I say that because my family's very left. A part of my family is very, very left, and I've been disowned. I mean, they don't have anything to do with me because of that. Nothing to do with me. And that wasn't anything I initiated. That's just how it happened. Not just me, my kids and everything. So my experience has always been it's the lefty members of your family that do this. It's always been the left. It's always the lefties. That has been my lived experience has been always the lefty family.
And are they or are they not more mean about it than what his brother's doing? His brother's like, look, I've, you know, here's the info I have.
Yeah, but and I'm not saying that one excuses the other.
They haven't spoken 8 years, but the last 8 years, we have a public record of what Tim Walz has done.
Right.
So there is, for me, I'd be curious as a voter to find out who knew him prior to 8 years ago. And I'd be able to piece it together with what I know of his 8-year history.
I mean, you can look at the guy. Do you need his brother going? That's not the kind of type of character you want in the White House. You don't need his brother saying that. You can look at Tim Walz. Did you see the way he jerked his kid's arm on stage?
Yes.
Dude, if I was the mom, I'd have turned around and popped him. I'd have popped him right in the face for that. You got to be kidding me. Jerking my kid's arm on stage like that.
I mean, imagine when he's not on stage what he does.
Yeah, well, that's my first thought. My first thought was, what is he like privately? If that's what he just did on a stage in front of thousands upon thousands of people. You can look at him and you know that's not the type of person that you want making decisions about stuff in the White House. But what I dislike about this is because I feel like it feeds the mainstreaming of family division over politics, and I cannot stand that. I don't like it when I see the Trumps, you know, bagging on Donald Trump. Like, what's her face? Mary Trump? Who the hell is she again?
I couldn't tell you.
She's like some chick. Who is she? I don't care. I don't really want an answer to my question. I'm really not asking because I'm genuinely interested.
I thought sister, her cousin.
I don't know. She's some broad. But her or like the Kennedys, the Hyannisport hillbillies up there that. You know, they decided to jump all over RFK Jr. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I've been the recipient of being treated like that, and I don't like it. And I am reluctant to be like that in my own life, and I cannot stand to see it play out like that because it feeds this almost like this expectation anymore in society that you're supposed to be politics first and family second. And if you cannot make your family come first and then politics second, You are morally deficient as a human. I can't stand it. But I will say that I do agree. I don't think what the brother said is anything like probably what Tim Walz has said. But I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. Like I saw this thing. So I've known Meghan McCain for a long time. And she's a friend of mine. And we don't agree on everything. And I don't care. I've never demanded total fealty and idea or thought. I can't stand that either because then you're just surrounded by sheep. But like what her brother came out and said that he was voting for Kamala Harris and her husband, who's also a friend of mine who I've known for years over from the Federalist, Ben Domenech, is like, you know, well, family doesn't always agree on stuff. And that's true. And strangers shouldn't be demanding that you cut ties from a member of your family because you disagree politically. That's that kind of tribalism is what got us into this position in the first place with the left, because the left does think like this. I mean, it's gotten so tribal with them that now, even if you are all on the left, if you disagree to some varying degree, like if you agree for the most part on an issue, but there's some varying degree that you maybe don't see eye to eye, you are excommunicado from the left. Like, well, we want to kill babies up to the moment of birth. But if you're like, well, I only want to, you know, kill babies, maybe let's stop at 6 months, maybe. Oh, no, you're excommunicado. You're out. you want to kill women. I mean, that's what they say. That's the kind of stuff that they do. So I just don't want to feed that. It's just like the mainstreaming of that expectation. We got more on the way. We've got Florida Man still yet to come. And then coming up later on in our third hour, we're going to speak with Missouri AG Andrew Bailey on some of the developments in those cases that he's been on. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I am trying to figure out what I wanted to start with, because there's a million. Oh, let's see here. Gah. This. Let's start with this guy. Monroe County. There's a lot of stuff coming out of Monroe County. A Florida man's attempt to spice up his neighborhood watch. This already sounds bad. Lands him in Monroe County Jail. So, Big Pine Key, Florida, 66-year-old Daniel James Lynch, he decided to redefine the idea of what a neighborhood watch is and does, and he decided to enter a neighbor's property repeatedly in a state of quote-unquote undress. N-E-K-K-I-D. Monroe County Sheriff's Office received a call from a bemused resident who said that the man entered her property on multiple occasions in his birthday suit. And I don't want to read that part. That's bad. So she said she had a camera that she wished she didn't have. She provided police with footage as evidence. And so he admitted to it. He admitted to his au naturel activities. And he was arrested and charged with burglary, indecent exposure, harassment. Yeah, that's not how you do the neighborhood watch. I'm just going to say that's not one that you do. Let's see here. Ooh, okay, this Florida woman was arrested after leaving her son alone in the apartment while she went and got cosmetic surgery. I don't even understand what's wrong with people. Her child is 3 years old. This Florida woman, this is coming from The Mirror. Florida woman Jessica Renteria, 25, was arrested and charged with child neglect. Her three-year-old was wandering around the apartment complex just by himself, all alone, unsupervised. She left him alone for hours. What did she do for hours? She's 25 years old. So she was he was found by a police officer, thankfully. Police body camera footage shows the moment officers found him. And there's video footage from their body cam photos of it. And it was about, the police were called at 4:15. He was on his own for over 6 hours. And it was funny because at one point, one of the officers goes, "Hello, by any chance, are you missing a kid?" That's what he was asking some of the people in the apartment complex. They found her. She's from Deland, Volusia County at the surgery center. She's released from jail on a $1,000 bond. Like, what did she get? What did she go do? Why did you, you're 25 and you have a three-year-old that you left. What priorities, lady? Stick with us. We got more to come. As we move our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And if you're really serious about protecting your values, then you need to do the most basic thing on God's green earth, which is to switch your cell phone service. Why would you not want to go with a service that's going to save you money and also not going to spend all of your hard-earned dollars on DEI stuff and all of that nonsense, because I guarantee you that's if you're not with Patriot Mobile, you're spending money on that already. That's what your phone company is sending your hard-earned dollars to. You're also helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs because they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. And like I said, they got plans to fit every single budget. You're going to have money saved. Families of all sizes, businesses of all sizes, dinks and non-dinks, whatever it is you are. Free activation with code Dana. And you can also get a free month of service right now using offer code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by others pretending to share your values. Switch to the real thing. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
What did the president mean when he said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wasn't doing enough to reach a hostage and ceasefire deal?
So here's what I'll say. He was asked a question by a colleague, a direct question, and he answered it. What I will say, I think more broadly, which is important to note, and the president said this in his statement over the weekend, is that make no mistake about it, Hamas leaders are going to pay for these crimes. And he and his team, for sure, will keep working around the clock to get this hostage deal done.
Anybody believe this? No. Does anyone actually believe that this administration is going to make Hamas? No, they're not, because you already had Kamala Harris that flubbed her attempt to have a serious response, and she didn't make it happen. I don't think anyone has faith in this administration to do anything like that, really. I mean, good heavens. Welcome back to the program. We're at the top of this third hour. There's this idea that we're still even thinking that there's going to be some kind of discussion for a ceasefire is asinine, or that there should be that Israel is somehow responsible for beginning any kind of compromise when they've been doing the compromising since 2000 and before 2005. I mean, how many tax dollars did Hamas spend? American tax dollars, British tax dollars, Canadian tax dollars given to it to build its own nation after they won elections. Starting from 2005, they won elections in 06. They were going to win them again before October 7th. And they did nothing except buy bombs, munitions, rockets, all kinds of stuff. They haven't done anything. They could have made Gaza, and I've said this a million times, it's right there, seaside. You could have had an amazing place right there. On the Mediterranean, it could have been beautiful. And instead, they've made it a hellhole, and they pretend that it's great, but it's a hellhole. And they built terrorist bunkers beneath hospitals and schools and everything else. How much more compromising is everyone else supposed to do to make Hamas stop being murderers? You're not going to. One, you can't. A compromise requires two people. And Israel's done enough compromising. Hamas hasn't done any. They have never been expected to do nor asked to compromise ever. There was a ceasefire in place October 6th. And before that, the one after they violated that, every single ceasefire, they've always violated it every single time. It's this idea, the argument is always that it is Israel that's the uncompromising party. The argument is always that it's Netanyahu who is the uncompromising leader. It's always everyone else is uncompromising, and boo-hoo, poor Hamas that has received billions of dollars of all of our tax dollars. They received free land from Israel. They received greenhouses and infrastructure. Schools and hospitals. They even received still welfare from Israel even after all of this happened. And Israel would treat Gazan residents. And then they turned around and they elected Hamas and they ran what could have been a very promising state into the ground. Their choice. They willed it. They chose it. And they were going to choose it again. So the compromising, the era of compromise has long since passed. This isn't compromise. What they're talking about is appeasement. What they're talking about is capitulation. What they're talking about is surrender. They just don't want to say that word, but that's what it is. There's no more. Turn it all to ash. I'm done with it. That's what Hamas chose, and that's what Hamas chose, and the people who support Hamas chose that. So she's already, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, they've already been tested on this, and they failed miserably. They failed miserably on this. No expectation to think that that's going to change. We have also, we're watching all of the latest with this school shooting that took place in Georgia, Borough County. It was Appalachian School in Winder, Georgia, about 25 miles west of Athens. Police held a short press conference just a little bit ago. The next one isn't going to be until 4 Eastern, 3 Central, at which time we're expecting more information. But the suspect apparently was taken into custody. There are reports of fatalities and injuries, but so far nothing confirmed from law enforcement. The only numbers that we're getting is from local press. But there's, and we know that the hospitals have taken in some of those who have been injured, but there isn't a number for injured or a number of fatalities that law enforcement is willing to confirm at this time. I would imagine they'll do so at the next press conference, but not at this time. But that's all we know from that situation. They had one victim who was lifted by who was evacuated out by helicopter. But we don't know anything else at this time. They had the school on lockdown. Then it went into soft lockdown as they were waiting for the parents to assemble so that they could get their kids. They made sure that the premises were secured, etc. But that's the latest coming out of Georgia. And like I said, they're not going to have any other developments on that until 4 Eastern, 3 Central. And that's when the sheriff's office there in Borough County said they were going to have their next press availability and take some questions and hopefully give some more information on that. A few other things to touch on, because we've been talking about big government. I need to share this with you from the Washington Times. We were just talking about tax dollars going to Hamas in Gaza. You're not going to like this one any better. Taxpayers are footing the bill for Alejandro Mayorkas' generosity. Government employees have been given $2.6 billion, taxpayer dollars, in extra vacation time. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has given so much extra time off to department employees that one of his agencies actually had to create an internal system to help employees track it. It's the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. They said their leave tracking tool is supposed to make it easier for supervisors to see who has time off, etc. But they said employees reportedly referred to Mayorkas as the, quote, patron saint of administrative leave. And the additional time it rewards the Homeland Security Department employees, etc., the immigration employees. So when the open borders, the government workers that are apparently facilitating the more open borders, you're paying more in tax dollars for them so that they can have time off. How much paid time off have... This is great to know right ahead of a shutdown, isn't it?
I just want them to have time off and not paid. Just end it completely.
I would like for them to have permanent time off forever. That would be great, wouldn't it? The department, I can't believe this. Did you know, how many employees do you think DHS has?
Oh, man. I would imagine it's Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. So I would say maybe like 8,000 or 10,000. What, more?
Go up.
15,000?
Go up.
20,000?
Way up.
What? 50,000?
Way up.
No.
Way up. This is like bowls of total.
100,000?
Up.
No. 150,000?
Oh, way up.
500,000?
250,000 employees.
God, why? Why? They're doing a horrible job then? All of them.
250, more than 250,000 employees.
So people that take from our tax base as opposed to contribute to it.
Correct. Yes, correct. I am amazed. And estimate, they said if the employee averages to a GS-10 level, because the pay can vary, they think that the hourly rate just above $50, that works into $900 million in potential paid time off last year, $500 million this year, and they got $2.6 billion in extra paid time off during his tenure. And he's handed out paid time off apparently at a rate far beyond that of his predecessors, while he also complains about a lack of resources. Okay, doesn't make any sense. So that's, wow. The Interior Department received an extra 2 hours. The EPA, Commerce, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, State Department, they got an extra 3 hours. NASA got an extra 4. Yeah, so all of this, nice government time off. I mean, you're creating a hole in your budget. It's actually costing more money. And in the meantime, the economy is circling the drain right now. It's crazy. I have this headline. Home builders are facing a credit crunch. Banks are cutting lending by 10%. What do you think giving everybody $25,000 extra to buy a house is going to do with this? This is from Financial Times. What do you think that's going to do? I know exactly. They said housing starts are on track to fall over 16%. Just this year, according to government data. Home builders facing their biggest credit crunch in more than a decade. Banks are cutting lending for residential construction by over 10%. And U.S. banks had about $92 billion of loans outstanding to fund the construction of dwellings for 1 to 4 families. Oh, but Kamala Harris wants to build millions more homes with magical money and give everybody on top of it an additional $25,000. But only if you're here illegally or you have not been able to buy a home before.
Look, the market is responding to the lack of demand because housing prices are already too high, including the actual interest rates. The reason that people that were priced out is because of the interest rates. Now, if Kamala gives this 25 grand to people, all it's going to do is falsely keep the prices of homes high. Instead of what should happen, which the market would correct itself, and then either prices of homes have to come down or the interest rate itself, or both.
Yeah.
But instead, she wants to just throw money that isn't hers out into the ether.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's just, it's really unbelievable. Unbelievable. Biggest year-on-year drop in more than a decade. This is BankReg data. This is from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Yeah, so it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. Although some of her plans, and we've talked about it, I don't think are actually workable. Not entirely. We also have, I got a couple of other things to make sure that we get. The World Darts Federation is demanding that women compete against men. Wait, they're demanding that women compete against men who are pretending to be women. Sorry, I had to make sure I got it right. It's darts. Why do men want to pretend to be women in darts of all places? Darts. Yeah. It's a bar game. Most people do it drunk. Yep. What am I missing? I don't know. That's for real. No clue. No clue, guys. That's I don't know. And coming up, we got Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's going to be on. The Supreme Court just last week, he's been fighting with the courts about the tuition and many other issues as well. We're going to talk to him and get a quick update. Burn a gun is another option to have in your arsenal for self-defense, because I always carry wherever I go. I also don't have the luxury, because of the nature of my job, to go to places that allow me to carry all the time. And there are times that, you know, I would love to be able to say, no, I'm just not going to go there. But again, I can't, because not everybody has that luxury. I got friends who live in Chicago. I have friends who live in Washington. I have friends who live in New York. And it is the exact same thing with them. So there's another option to consider that it's a non-firearm firearm that doesn't care about gun-free zone signs, for which there is no background check, no waiting period, and it's the Byrna gun. The Byrna gun provides you an option when the state tries to make it where you have none. It's great for restricted areas, and it can be very practical in that way. It's BYRNA, and what it is, the most popular model, by the way, is the Byrna SD. What it is it's a defensive option that allows you to shoot chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, stun guns have maybe one or two shots. The Byrna SD gives you five-round capacity. It's their best-selling self-defense option. So if you're being restricted, check out your options because you have some, and Byrna can help. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, that's B-Y-R-N-A, for 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com/Dana. There's different models, different colors, different projectiles. BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is crazy. So, I mean, it's in Aspen, so this can happen. A kid was having a snack in his backyard, and a black bear came up behind him, and it's all on camera. The local news there said that they, you know, obviously people are used to bears in this area. It's not like a big deal. But the kid and his parents were spending the weekend with family in Aspen. He was eating a bag of kettle corn. And the bear was sniffing the air, approached the kid, who was sitting on a yard chair near a fire pit. He came within a foot of his head. At that moment, the mom said she didn't know what to do. She said, "I was frozen. No one was hurt. They made loud noises to scare the bear away." And that's, you know, I mean, that you got to be, you just got to be aware, right? You know, I'm just saying, you got to be aware of stuff. Oh, boy. A missing emu from the Great Emu War. No, KIRO Channel 7. This story where they say a family had a missing emu, and in this town it went missing. They said the family's missing an emu. They're trying to get people to help to find the emu. KIRO Channel 7. They said that apparently it got out of its enclosure. Aren't they mean? Can't emus be mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they said that they apparently two of them got out. One of them they found by a retainer. I don't really care about this other than there's a crazy emu running around.
We had an errant ostrich yesterday, didn't we?
An errant ostrich and now a missing emu. This is like if the flock of seagulls split into different solo projects, it would be called this. This is what I'm saying. Brisbane is in Australia. An air traffic controller was found asleep on the job after a series of night shifts. That seems like that's not a good thing to have happen to your air traffic controller. The controller was found literally sleeping by the Australian Transport Safety Bureau. They were experiencing fatigue. They didn't identify if it was a chick or a dude, but they said that there were no incidents. You know, they thankfully, you know, nothing happened as a result of this. But they said that the dude was lying across two chairs, not moving and not undertaking activities to maintain mental awareness. You got to keep yourself awake. A Wells Fargo employee in Arizona was found dead at their desk 4 days after clocking in. 4 days they were dead in Arizona. Arizona, where they've had 100 degree temperatures. Stinky. This is so bad. It's a sad story. 4 days, though. Golly. Andrew Bailey next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. We are at the bottom of this third hour. And of course, you can listen all around the country, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. We're on Rumble and X and on a terrestrial station in your state somewhere. We're all over. And of course, make sure you find us YouTube, Facebook, and Substack, Chapter and Verse, where you can subscribe and get all kinds of goodies. One of those things, we always put up our interviews that we have with individuals, especially those out there fighting to make a difference. And one of those, one of my favorite guests to have on from my home state where all my family still lives, and they are all big Andrew Bailey fans, the whole fam up there in Missouri. That's Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who joins us via Skype. First off, I have to compliment your cardio because I know you've been running around from meeting to meeting. In addition to that, you've also been filing suit, kicking butt, taking names, and stopping the waste of taxpayer dollars on, I can't, how many times is this now? The Biden-Harris student loan scheme. This is like the third time they've tried this. At what, now, correct me if I'm wrong, General. This is why you're here and you know what you know and I know what I don't know. I thought the first time the Supreme Court said to stop it, they were supposed to stop it, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a constitutional crisis, and shame on the mainstream media for just ignoring this story altogether. And I wonder about this. I wonder if the Biden-Harris administration hasn't created other catastrophes in our country so that they can hide the fact that they're doing things like this, like illegally, unconstitutionally violating court orders to redistribute almost a $500 billion in debt owed to repay these student loans. And you're right, the Supreme Court spoke explicitly in June of 2023 when they handed down the first decision saying, no, if Congress intends for this to happen, Congress has the power of the purse, Congress has to pass a bill. What bill got passed? Did I miss something? No bill has been passed. Congress has twice rejected such a bill, and yet President Biden went back to the well, Kamala Harris went back to the well, because they're so desperate to buy votes in a key demographic that they're losing, and it's not working. They're not reclaiming that ground. The Supreme Court just recently told them no on Plan B, and now they have a secret Plan C. And Plan C is even worse, not only because they're willfully defying past precedent of the United States Supreme Court and the fact that they're violating separation of powers because Congress has not passed a bill authorizing them to do this, but now they're hiding it. And we uncovered it through a process and have filed those documents under seal with the United States District Court to demonstrate that they're avoiding having to notify the public about this unconstitutional, illegal third attempt to buy votes. We're not going to let Joe Biden and Kamala Harris saddle working American families with Ivy League debt.
They are so desperate to do this. We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, and a trillion, over $1 trillion for, or half a trillion, I think you said, dollars that regular, average, everyday Americans would be paying for. Because from what we read, most of the debt that they're talking about addressing with this is grad school debt. This is, you know, this is like a middle and upper class student debt where you're getting, you know, trade workers and, you know, middle and lower class socioeconomic status individuals paying off the debt that these people chose to incur. That doesn't make any sense. And I mean, I can see why they want to hide it, because that doesn't go with their populist rhetoric that they're trying to use to go after blue collar.
Yeah, that's right. They're trying to buy off elitists who are not interested in four more years of Joe Biden under Kamala Harris, the failed border czar. And look, for people like me, this is personal. Yeah. I paid for my schooling through service in the United States Army, went to law school on the post 9/11 GI Bill. I have friends that didn't come home from Iraq that did the same thing. And what are you going to tell their widows, their spouses about their sacrifice? What are you going to tell the working families who didn't go to college because they knew they couldn't afford it, so they went into the workforce? I mean, again, this is absolutely absurd. It's bad enough that it's a poor policy position, but the fact that they're doing it illegally and unconstitutionally, and the fact that the Supreme Court has twice told them no, raises this to the level of a constitutional crisis. The president, as the head of the executive branch of government, is supposed to enforce the law, not make the law. And he's got to follow the law that are laws as passed by Congress and interpreted by the highest court in the land. Imagine if a Republican was willfully defying the United States Supreme Court. The apoplectic response from the left, and yet here, radio silence.
Yeah, exactly. You've also joined 22 states in going after this forced usage of preferred pronouns in schools. And this is something that's affecting going so young as elementary school students, where teachers are now trying to rewrite the language, certain teachers, not all, and force this, you know, whatever arbitrary pronoun usage on these young kids. And in many instances, without parental consent, parental involvement. Talk to us about this, because I can't even believe that this can be for. When I was growing up in school, my mom had to sign a consent form just to be able to sing a Christmas song for our choir concert. But this is okay.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to drive any kind of Christmas music out of the public domain, and yet brainwash our children into believing that there's your gender is fluid, or you get to decide your gender, that, you know, with male parts, you can somehow be a female. I think there's a little bit more to it than that. And how dare anyone sexualize our children by injecting this into elementary schools? This is a parental rights issue for me as a parent of four small children from ages 11 all the way down to two. Again, this is very personal. I'm invested in my children's education and ensuring that they're educated in a way way that's consistent with my values. And here in the state of Missouri, we don't co-parent with the government. Mm. The government has no role in this process. And this is absolutely absurd. Again, bad policy, also unconstitutional. The government can't force you to speak against your will. It violates the First Amendment. And so this is a clear-cut suit, and I'm confident of our ultimate success on the merits of this one.
It's always wild to me that if it has to do with a book or if it has to do with language, people always accuse, you know, you or parents who simply want to be involved or consent to what their kids are being taught of as, oh, they're trying to ban stuff. What, since when is parental consent considered banning something?
Yeah, that's right. What the other side is trying to ban is a parent's ability to parent that child consistent with the parent's values. And again, that's a parental rights issue.
That's exactly it. I mean, it is. I mean, it's really, it's the war against parents. It just, which is something that's kind of always been, but this, it's taken a much different face for sure. So we've got the, because you've been on offense against the student loans, and then also against the pronouns. What have I missed? Because every single week your office is, you know, beating the tar out of somebody and going after it on behalf of Missouri taxpayers, and also establishing precedents that help us who are outside of Missouri as well.
Yeah, look, I tell folks down in Texas or Oklahoma or other states, blue states, there's some, you know, hardcore conservatives in blue states. And I would tell folks like that, look, you may not be a constituent, but I still can represent you. And we do that by fighting for basic timeless principles like parental rights and the freedoms guaranteed to us by our founding fathers, the United States Constitution. And those are fights worth making. And that's why these lawsuits are so important.
Very important. We're grateful that you're doing it and grateful. I know my family loves you in Missouri. They're very happy that you're the AG. They never want to let you go from Missouri. And we're very happy that you're doing what you're doing as well. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, always good to see you, my friend. Take care. And I have to tell everybody, he ate some ice cream and he ran probably like 5 miles to get to make this hit. Cardio is off the charts.
Need the cardio after the ice cream. But wouldn't miss it for the world. Thank you for having me on.
Good to see you. Take care. Thank you, General. We got more to come as well, because we got coming up, we're going to have get into some Today in Stupidity. I also want to make sure that we're updating on the latest with this shooting that took place in Georgia, because we're getting some numbers now. I know that there's going to be a press conference that law enforcement are going to give. I think it's 4 Eastern, 3 Central was when they're going to give it. That was according to the Borough County Sheriff's Office. They spoke a little over an hour ago, and they, at the time, were not confirming the number of injured, nor were they confirming any fatalities. But what I have seen from some of the press is that the reports are 4 fatalities at this point. The number of injured is still kind of fluctuating. So we're still waiting to kind of get some more information on that. But the fatalities reportedly are 4. And of course, they're not taking any time at all whatsoever. No hesitation to politicize some of this stuff from what we're seeing from whether it's the administration. The White House had already put out an immediate narrative about firearms. I want to make a quick point here. First off, schools have been gun-free zones for 30 plus years. Federal law, that's already covered. That's number one. Number two, of the 3 school districts in Georgia that allow for armed teachers on campus, this district is not one of them. So I'm not quite sure what any of these people are talking about in terms of their proposals would have stopped what? We don't even know anything really yet officially about the perpetrator, about the suspect in this. There was one report that we saw early on that said that the suspect looked, the individual that was taken into custody looked like they were a student. We don't know about the age. We don't know if that's, you know, confirmed. Obviously, this is something we would like to wait and get more information about. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking at this 3 p.m. Central Time press conference from the sheriff's office. But KJP was saying, well, we have to ban assault weapons and we have to ban, high capacity, etc. I don't know what that would do. We don't know anything about nothing about this yet. But they're immediately taking no time at all in politicizing it. And I'm going to have something more about this on Substack as well coming up. But I'll have the latest information, including what we get from the press conference on that as well in this write-up. So we have a lot yet still.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Except I'm not able to go out to crowds anymore. They don't keep the service unlimited.
No, why not?
Well, because it says it's too dangerous. No one gets to go out.
No, we're not. We're all serious.
So that's Joe Biden saying, yeah, the Secret Service, they just don't let me go out anymore. They just, I'm not able to go out in crowds anymore. Secret Service doesn't let me. Probably because you'll fall down. They used to let him all the time. Then he started falling off the bikes, falling up the stairs, falling down the stairs, falling up ramps, falling down ramps, falling down on flat surfaces.
He'll even
falling
wander.
Up.
He'll just wander sometimes.
Yeah, just wander away, wander off. I mean, just come on, man, come on. So I don't know. I'm just not. I don't think that I think there's another reason why they don't let him. Just saying, go out. Just there's probably another reason there. Goodness. You don't hear much from him, really. You know that. You don't really hear anything about Joe Biden anymore. You don't hear anything about they've made it to where it's entirely, he is just a memory now. He is out of the door. That's it. That is it. Goodness. All right. So this, make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, because this is where I'm going to have any updates that we have on the Georgia story that we've been following bringing any developments that we get. And we, you know, only going with stuff that's been confirmed by law enforcement. I know they're having another press conference at 3 p.m. Eastern. This is, can we play the soundbite from Town Hall, this Karine Jean-Pierre? Because immediately the White House comes out and immediately decides to politicize all of this. Are we able to get this?
I think we have it.
Do we have this?
Yeah, I think we have it. One, you need me to play?
If we can.
Okay, yeah.
This is KJP.
There's to do something, we need universal background checks. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, require safe storage of firearms, invest in violence prevention programs, and pass a national red flag law.
None of this is going to
work. Enough is enough. And I cannot say this enough, which is enough is enough. We cannot allow this to happen in our communities.
So we don't know anything about the perpetrator. We don't know anything about his age officially, motive, or even what he used. What we do know is that schools for 30 plus years have been federal gun-free zones. That's a federal law. That's number one. Number two, what we also know is that of the three schools in Georgia where teachers can carry, where they are allowed to carry, this school district is not one of them. So what additional law would have made what happened here illegaler? What additional law? I mean, I just think that the smart person waits for a moment before they immediately start spitting politics about it and waxing radical ideology about what needs to be done over a situation where we don't even have all the facts at hand yet. We don't even know everything that there is to know possibly about making a reformed informed response. So we know nothing yet. We know nothing yet. And how sad that this is their first inclination. This is their every single time. The first reaction is for them to try to immediately spin it and make it to where it's something that they can exploit for a political gain. I've seen it up close. I have seen it in numerous states. I have seen it after every tragedy before the families are even notified. And then when the families don't go along with it, I've watched them as they're attacked and they're smeared and their names are dragged through the mud and they're ran out of town. I know of families personally that have become very dear friends of mine where they've even had some of these activists try to pressure them into going along with some of these campaigns to where the families felt they need to lawyer up to protect themselves. That's a fact. And some of these activists have targeted families because I feel like they were immigrant families and they thought that because they were immigrant families that they could pressure them a little bit more. One day that story will get told. Katie bar the door for the people whose names are dropped in it. So when we get that information, I'll have it over at Substack, and I'll update it there as we get it in. But until that time, nothing's confirmed. And we're praying for the people in Winder, Georgia. That school district there, 1,900 students in that district, 25 miles west of Athens. We're saying prayers for them. We now are at today's stupidity, Kane. What do we have?
We have a surplus. An actual surplus of stupidity. It could be about how the media and the Democrats are trying to convince everybody it's Russia again. Mm-hmm. Coming up for the 2024 elections, it's Russia again, guys. But instead, Juan, this is cut 23. This is how the media describes what Kamala's really trying to do. Listen to this.
But the vice president wants to go even further, and she's going to offer these financial incentives, and she's going to push cutting red tape. There's often too many burdensome regulations for small businesses who are trying to get off the ground. And so she's going to be talking about this as part of her economic vision to move the country forward, away from the Trump plans of trickle-down.
What do you mean away from Trump plans? The last 4 years have been Biden-Harris.
President.
Like, why? It's just stupid.
They act like it's just Biden. They act like she wasn't there.
Right. Like she was a ghost.
Right. She was hiding.
I mean, she really wasn't there, if we're going to be honest about it all.
I mean, really, what did she do? Yeah. Folks, that does it for our program today. Find us over at YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. And over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.